Well, I'm going to read a story this morning. It's called After Many Days. The scriptural preface is Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Some details have been added, but the main events of this story happened in communist Russia in the early 1900s. Aaron Rampel's family lives in California today. Near the Russian city of Gladenfeld lived a Mennonite farmer named Aaron Rampel. Aaron owned a large farm and forests so rich in game that the Caesar Nikolai II often came from Moscow just to hunt on his estate. Aaron always tried to obey God and love his fellow man. His motto was, I can only do as God leads me. And he sought in every situation to live by it. One day, Aaron Rempel walked into Gdenfeld to transact some business. It was 1917, the year the Bolshevik Revolution spread to southern Russia, coming at last to Gdenfeld. The communist Bolsheviks killed many wealthy landowners and divided their estates among the local peasants. After 6 months of revolution, the government army had managed to rout the communists. Bolshevik soldiers were rounded up and exiled to Siberia. Aaron had stopped at the grocer's on his way home and bought some treats for his wife and children. Leaving town, he walked past a long line of livestock cars sitting in the railroad tracks. He heard groans and cursings coming from within the train. The slat-sided cars were full of Bolsheviks waiting to be taken to exile in Siberia. Sir, a voice cried out from one of the cars. Sir, we are so hungry. We have not eaten anything all day. Give us some food. Aaron climbed the embankment and took from his sack the dry sausage he had bought for his wife. He placed it in the hand reaching through the slats. The hand disappeared within the car, but he immediately stretched out again. Have you any more, sir? Here, Aaron said, handing loaves of warm white bakery bread to the hungry man. Then he emptied a sack of cheeses, pastry, and fruit. Within the dark railroad car, he heard the sounds of greedy eating. May God bless you, Aaron said. Thank you, returned the mysterious voice. Thank you, thank you. Aaron went home empty-handed, but when he explained to his wife and children what had happened, they all praised Aaron for giving to their enemies as Christ had commanded. That night they read from Matthew's Gospel where Christ says, I was hungry and you gave me to eat. The government's armies continued for several months to punish the Bolsheviks. But then the Bolsheviks again gained the upper hand. Thousands of poor Russian peasants joined the Bolsheviks, allured by the prospect of free land. They seized large farms and estates. All across Russia, they burned barns and houses and either murdered or arrested the landowners. The Bolsheviks came to Aaron Rampel's farm. Soldiers pounded on the door, and Aaron opened it, inviting them to come in. The communists shouted at Aaron and his family. One intimidated them with a rifle, and another waved a big knife at the children. Aaron did not resist, so rather than killing the Rempels, the Bolsheviks marched the whole family into Gdenfeld, and there forced them to climb into a livestock car. Other wealthy farmers from Gdenfeld, and even Aaron's own brothers and their families were crammed together into slat-sided cars. After a short while, the train lurched northward, and Aaron knew they were being exiled to the distant plateau in central Siberia. Siberia is 2 weeks' train ride from the southwestern corner of Russia. Many people died during the long journey. Children lost their parents, and mothers watched babies die in their arms. But Aaron's family managed by God's grace to arrive safely in Irkutsk, north of the Mongolian border on the shores of Lake Baikal. The communists sent thousands of undesirables to Siberia. So Aaron's neighbors were a mix of fellow Mennonite farmers, former officials of the Republican government, and criminals they thought too petty to be bothered with the Soviet prisons of the West. A communist government was set up, and people were put to work in factories and forests. But most of them lived in poverty, plagued by hunger, sickness, and despair. But Aaron Rempel did not waste time feeling sorry for himself. Neither did he while away his hours with the other exiles, complaining about the conditions and cursing the new government. Aaron began to think, what is it that the people need in this awful place? What work is there for my sons and me to do? How can we keep busy? One morning, as the Rempel family was eating breakfast, one of Aaron's sons began to complain about the cold. People spent a great deal of their time just trying to get warm. It gets down to your bones, he grumbled. It's all right if you can stand by the fire, but as soon as you get out of the wind, you might as well have one coat for three, for all the protection three coats offer. What I wouldn't do for a flask of good hot tea on a day like today, another son dreamed. But the Rempels had not seen a cup of hot tea since they left Nadenfeld. Tea! Aaron's face lit up. That was it. Tea! If only he could lay his hands on some tea, he was sure he could sell every sprig. A neighbor came the next day and asked Aaron if he would like to ride along with him to Kayata, a northern town on the Mongolian border. Kayata lies on the road to Ulaanbaatar. The Mongolian traders from the capital city come there to sell their goods to the Russians. The neighbor had business to conduct in the government office there. Aaron was glad to go along. After a few hours' journey by train, they arrived. Aaron decided to wait in the marketplace while his neighbor spoke with the commissar. The market was filled with unusual goods from the Mongolian plateau: yak skins and ponies, goat hides and camel furs. But it was a vendor set up in an alleyway who caught Aaron's attention. Tea! The man was shouting, first in Mongolian, then in Russian. Chinese tea for sale! Beside his table sat two large sacks filled with loose tea leaves. Aaron bought the merchant's whole supply and arranged to meet him again in 1 month to buy more. The Mongol agreed, and Aaron returned happily to Irkutsk. The tea sold more quickly than Aaron had imagined, and soon he and his sons were buying tea from several Mongolian traders and distributing their goods as far away as Kenzima, 300 miles north. Once again, they were happy, their hands occupied with good work. However, one of Aaron's neighbors was a bitter man who, before the revolution, had been a mayor of a small city near Gorky. This man watched enviously as Aaron's family prospered in exile. The communists will not like you to be engaged in private enterprise, he warned Aaron Rempel. But a man must find a way to support his family, Aaron said. The following week, a loud pounding at midnight aroused Aaron from his deep sleep. He stumbled sleepy-eyed to the door. Opening it, he discovered the impassive faces of two policemen. They took Aaron away to jail in his nightclothes. Soviet justice moves slowly, especially in the frontier areas of Siberia. Aaron spent weeks pacing back and forth in a cold, dirty jail cell before at last his trial date was set. Then he was released for a time to return home, since the jailer had given the judge his guarantee that Aaron would not run away. The day of his trial arrived. Aaron was charged with capitalistic activities against the Supreme Soviet, the national government of the Soviet Union. A guilty verdict was punishable either by death or by imprisonment in the far eastern part of Siberia, a frozen wasteland extending into the Arctic Ocean. The trial was simple. Aaron had engaged in illegal capitalistic activities, privately selling tea. His neighbor, the former mayor, took the witness stand against Aaron. The police confirmed that they had found a large quantity of tea in Aaron's house. He was guilty. He would be sentenced on March 4, in 3 weeks. Aaron did not worry about the sentencing. He only dreaded separation from his wife and children. He knew his brothers, who lived near Irkutsk, would care for his family when he was sent to prison. Calmly, he resigned the outcome to God and gently encouraged his family. We can only do as God leads us. Let us wait and see what we will receive from his hand. On the day of the sentencing trial, Aaron sat on a backless bench with several other prisoners. He watched the judge dispassionately hand down sentences to the men who came before him. 50 years in an Eastern Siberian prison, life in Siberia, death by hanging. The judge read the awful condemnations as though he was checking off a list of items needed at the hardware store. Finally, the clerk called on Aaron Rempel. The clerk repeated the charge and the verdict, guilty. The judge was about to rattle off the sentence when he looked up for the first time at the man before him. His eyes narrowed on the T criminal. Aaron thought there was a look of a special scorn in them. "What do you have to say about this serious crime?" the judge asked. "I thought it was only right to provide for my household," Aaron said. "And I can only do as God leads me." The judge stared at Aaron. "Where have we met?" he demanded. "I do not believe I've ever seen you before, sir," Aaron replied. "But I have seen you," the magistrate insisted. For a moment he thought, and then, "Were you ever in Gnadenfeld?" "Why, yes, I was born there and spent my whole life in Gnadenfeld before I was exiled to Irtysk." "Do you remember one night speaking with a prisoner in a cattle car?" "Why, yes," Aaron said. "How does this judge know that?" "I gave the man a little food because he said he was hungry." "I was that man," said the judge. "I was so hungry. You did not have to do anything for me, but you gave me food to eat." Aaron waited, hearing only the sound of the wind sweeping past the windows. At last the judge spoke. "What would you like me to do for you, Comrade Rempel? I can give you immigration papers. Where would you like to go? America?" "Yes, to America," Aaron said, adding quickly, "And sir, would you provide papers for my family as well, for my brothers and their families?" "Yes," the judge said. "Whatever you wish. I will do whatever I can for the man who fed me when I was so hungry." And so Aaron and his family immigrated to America. There they lived in freedom, and Aaron continued to do as God led him. That's all I had. I hope we can be encouraged to keep pressing forward and do as God leads us.
Thank you, Brother Dito. I guess maybe some of the brothers have a better analogy from the scriptures, but it reminds me of Rahab. She hid the spies, and she was rewarded, and her family was saved. Abed Abimelech, who took Jeremiah out of the well, and God said your life was going to be saved for that. Thanks for that story, and may the Lord be magnified.
Yeah, I really appreciate that story too, and you opened it with that verse in Ecclesiastes where it says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days you shall receive it." And it's really stood out to me how it says that verse, and then I think right after that it says, "Give a portion to seven and even to eight, for you do not know what," maybe it says, "what kind of calamities will come upon earth." And that's just so otherworldly thinking. You know, the preppers and the people who are all concerned about what kind of calamity and economic collapse and everything that could happen are usually hoarding and storing up and saving and salvaging and locking and all that kind of stuff. But the preacher in Ecclesiastes says, "Give a portion to seven and even to eight, because you don't know what kind of bad things are coming." And I find that a real blessing.
That kind of reminded me of this. It was Luke 16, verse 8. "And the Lord commanded the unjust steward, because he had done wisely for the children of this world." Oh, wait, am I reading the wrong thing?
I think it's 8 and 9.
Oh, 8 and 9. "For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And we say unto you, make to yourselves friends the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations."
Each day I'll do.
Thank you.
sinking low. A few more days.